Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Sometimes I joke and I say, you know, we're praying and fasting for 40 days. She's fasting and I'm praying. But I fast. It's done. But anyway, you know, enter in somewhere. You can fast something. And fasting, you know, like if you're already a vegan and you do a Daniel fast, it's like you're already doing it. Like, what did that? Well, you didn't do anything. You know, I mean, like, yeah, you know, we need to do it. Me and Chris were talking about doing an opposite Daniel where all we eat is meat and sweets. But I already do that, so I don't know if that's not a fast for me. So I'm just saying, you know, like think through that. What's something that you're giving up that pushes away any of the desires of the flesh that help you connect with the Spirit? There's a purpose in the fast. Are you with me? And there's different types. So look into that, pray, fast. Also, there's a 24-hour prayer, or is it 12 hours, 24? 24-hour prayer on the 16th, 19th. See, that's why I'm looking at you. Help me. So it's going to be good. So awesome. You know, I was thinking about this, and I've been getting rocked in Colossians. I heard God say, go to Colossians 2. So I've been reading Colossians, and Colossians 1 is amazing. We could preach a year out of Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1 talks about so many things. So I want to kind of prep the sermon where I'm going. Little background in Colossians was a church plant, not by Paul, but by Epaphras, Paul's spiritual son. Actually, he got saved in Ephesus when Paul was releasing so much in the school of Tyrannus. Paul's preaching in Ephesus. He sends out all these ministers. They went through all of Asia Minor and they're planting churches. So this was a church plant and one of his spiritual sons. And the Gnostics came in and started preaching bad doctrine, and it caused economic decline in their city, where Laodicea actually became a bigger city than with the Colossians. They started seeing economic decline and fall, and everything started happening in their city. And there's a correlation between the fire of God and transformation in a city and the prosperity and the blessing that's on a city or on a region. So in those churches that were near them, Hierapolis and I know it's history, but you know, there was a decline. So in this context, there was a decline, and there was a letter written to Paul, and Paul's responding to that letter. And so he starts out telling them all these things that what Christ is. And the doctrine is so rich in the first chapter of Colossians. It tells who Christ is. It's just amazing. It'll blow your mind. You could sit in there forever. Just all the statements and it's just rich. It's really deep. But inside of that, he talks about identity, and then he flips over in chapter 2. I want to focus in chapter 2 on a couple verses. We're going to go back into the end of chapter 1 and just read a few verses. But my intent is that Paul actually was doing something to fire up their faith and to reignite. And my heart is that your faith would be reignited and fired up, that we would transform our region. And whatever city you're in, maybe you're in a booming city, maybe you're in a declining city, I don't know, but I pray that it would get, like his intent was to fire them up spiritually to transform the region in every way. Because spiritual transformation leads into regional transformation, into global transformation. Amen? So I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray right now that you would bless each person who's here. I pray that you'd give them not just a good start, but a fresh start. And I pray at the beginning of this year, with all the goals and dreams and the things that are being defined, I pray, God, that you would just give them that beginning point. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, how you start is important to how you finish. And I want to come out of Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. And it says, as you have therefore received Christ. How many have received Christ? How many are born again? You receive Christ. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. As you have received Christ, therefore receive Christ, even Jesus the Lord. So walk, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded on him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Isn't that powerful? I want to talk about beginnings today. And I want to talk about the beginnings because you have a beginning. You had a beginning this morning. You're going to have a beginning tomorrow morning. You have a beginning of the week. How many know we gather on Sunday? It's not the last day of the week. This is the first day of the week. This is your beginning. And the believers want to start their week. So they went from Saturday to Sunday worship. This is the beginning. This is the start of a fresh week. But we have the start of a fresh day, the start of a fresh week, start of a fresh month, start of a fresh year. There's a bunch of beginnings that determine your end. If you've made New Year's resolutions and you make an annual goal and you're not meeting your annual goal, maybe you need to break it back down and focus on some goals that are smaller. You should have, even with an annual goal, you should back it back down and have a quarterly and even a weekly or a daily. I want to start with daily. And I want to talk about something. And something that was dear to me, I shoot archery. And as I was thinking of this sermon, I was thinking about anchor points. And the thing on archery that makes you consistent is your anchor point. I'm not going to shoot it, so I don't need that. I started to first service in my peep sight. The rubber thing came undone, and I'm like, okay, I'm not shooting my bow this morning. So I have a target with an arrow. I did shoot two arrows off this morning, and until this little thing broke, it just has to be tied, but I'm not going to shoot it. But the point is that when you shoot archery, there's a consistent anchor point in the back that makes the shaft of the arrow go straight to hit its mark down the field. And when you have an arrow, and if you're slightly off, if I'm off an inch on this end, it's going to be, you know, yards at 10, at 100 yards, it's going to be way off. And at a mile, you'd be like, just like, you know, it's way, way off. Now, I want you to think about that. When you say, how many have seen Apollo 13? You know, if you're doing a space shuttle and you're off a little bit here, it's off way off out there. You miss your target. And the same thing as like even with dancers. I was thinking about the dancers. When the ballerinas dance, kind of hard to dance with a bow. But when they do a pirouette, they set a mark and then they do their pirouette and they look back at their mark and back at their mark every time they do a turn. Because they're setting a mark. There's an anchor point. Are you here? Anchor points are important. And we need anchor points in our faith. And Christ is the anchor of our faith. But we're going somewhere, just like an arrow takes flight. And the arrow has a journey. So if the arrow is trying to hit its mark, how many know sin means to miss the mark? So if sin means to miss the mark, that means that if that's my intention, maybe that's the fullness of Christ in my life. Maybe that's the fullness of God in me. And that's my mark. Sin takes me off the mark. Sin is to miss the mark. And I was joking around with you saying how Charlie Brown just shot an arrow in a fence and then went around, turned a circle around it and said, oh, I hit the bullseye. He had no goal. He had no aim. And he said, I never miss this way. We need to know where we're headed and where we're going. But more importantly than just setting a goal, because you're setting goals. I hope you're setting goals. If you're not, I hope you're setting goals. I hope after this you're setting goals. But you need to have an anchor point. I had a mild crisis because I had an anchor point that was unusual to archers because no one taught me how to shoot. So for over 10 years, I shot with an anchor point using my thumb. And everybody uses the back of their knuckle. And the form, I got a new sight on there, and I had to change my anchor point. So everything I'd been doing for year after year after year, I had to shift it. So everything that was normal to me, the way that I pulled, was totally different. And if I go back to that other way, my arrow will be way off. Are you with me? That's why Jesus said, don't be like tossed to and fro. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't like... If you don't have a solid anchor point, you're not going to have any point of reference to be consistent. And so we need to anchor ourselves in our faith. Because sometimes we're going to have times when nothing, it's not going to make sense. You're going to have times when maybe things are cloudy, but you'll hit your anchor point even when you have no clue. Like I could hit my anchor point even if my brain is totally downfield and I'm not concentrating at all because I've done it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Are you with me? When you do the same thing over and over and over, it becomes natural. It becomes a reflex. I used to train martial arts and one time they dropped this 4x6 on me and as it was coming down out of the air, I did a high defense and blocked it because I've done it like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And so it was normal for me just to block this big old 4x6 that would have killed me. And you're thinking, like, how did you do that? I didn't think about it. It wasn't thinking. It was a reaction. Are you here? So when you have a reaction, well, we need to build faith reaction points. We need to have anchor points in our faith. When we're anchored in our faith, we just know. We just know what we're to do. We know how to stand. And what's the Bible say? Like when you're getting pounded by a storm and you're like getting rocked. And the Bible tells you, what do you do when you've done all else? What do?
Stand.
You continue to stand. You stand. And when you've done all else to stand, stand. So in between stand is stand. You just stand. So sometimes that anchor point is not sometimes, but all times. That anchor point is critical in our lives. And so we have to learn how to be consistent and get rid of those inconsistencies that are hindering us. Because you can set goals, but I'll tell you right now, you know, if you're going to reach your goals, it starts with your souls. If it doesn't start with your soul, you're not going to reach your goal. You can just set goals and it starts. Christian goals start with your soul. And that's your anchor point. 3 John 1:2, it says this, beloved, 3 John 1:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. With your prosperity of your soul, your health comes along with it. And I'm talking about that you would prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. That means your grades would prosper. That means your business would prosper. Come on, somebody. That means your relationships will prosper. That you would prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. We need to anchor our soul with Christ. That's our mind, will, and our emotions. And when we've already processed things and anchored them on Christ, when the storm gets crazy, we know what to do. We just react. So here we have a church, and the church was kind of getting rocked. Actually, their whole region was getting rocked. At least this city was. And I love the Passion Translation. I'm going to go back to verse 28. And he just got done with a famous passage in 27. I guess I'm going back to the scripture before the one I'm going back to now. Just messing with you. But in 27, he talks about Christ in us, the... Come on, Colossians 1:27. Christ in us. So he just talked about the mystery of Christ and now Christ in us. Say in us. The mystery of Christ in me. Personalize it. In me. That's important. And then he says this in verse 28. And I love the Passion Translation. He says, Christ is our message. Say, Christ is my message. When you don't know what to preach, just tell people Jesus. Just tell them, this is what Jesus did for me. If you just tell them your doctrine without telling them what he did for you, you only have half a testimony. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You have a testimony. He did something for you. You look better this week than you did last week. God's doing something progressive. You look better than you did last year. And you look a lot better in your future than you do right now. No, I'm just messing with you. Now I'm really digging a hole. I just got to get out of it. They're like, move along. So it says, Christ is our message. We preach Christ to awaken hearts and to bring every person into the full understanding of the truth. Whew. Awaken hearts. Don't hearts need to be awakened? Who wants a faith that doesn't have your heart in it? Christianity is a relationship. If the heart's not in it, it's not, what's it worth? I mean, your heart's got to be in it. Who wants a mechanical relationship? You want the heart with it. So starting strong starts in our heart. So number one, it all starts in the heart. Number one, it starts in our heart. And so if we go to verse 2, Colossians 2:2, it says, For my concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged as they knit together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessings of assurance, conviction, and understanding, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly that mystic secret of God, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? The world needs to know it's Christ in us. Because they're hopeless, but he's the God of hope. And when you're preaching hope, people, they'll latch on to hope, not religion. We preach Christ. Christ is our message. And for hearts to be awakened, how beautiful. So the first point, say number one, it starts in my heart. And the second thing is, Paul, he gives several, in these two verses, verse 6 and 7, he gives us several word pictures here, and I want to take and look at these word pictures. So there's three snapshots of our walk of faith. Here we go. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So there's several word pictures here, and he gives us some snapshots of what it looks like to really be anchored, to really be set, or to be anchored, or to be established. And the first of these several images that he gives us, Paul uses in this text, is he gives us that of a person walking. And Hebrews backs it up. Hebrews 12:1, he talks about, let's run with endurance this race. And Paul liked to use the illustration of the athletic games. He liked the running. He talks about our Christian walk as a walk, our Christian faith as a walk. He talks about it and how we start out as spiritual children, but then we progress. So we have a walk and this journey. Say journey. So we're all on a journey. So if you're going to get to the end of your journey, and even just your journey for this year, your journey in 2018 looks like something. So what does that journey look like? So we're going to call it a walk today, okay? So he's talking about, so walk in him. What's that mean, to walk in him? Let's break it down. And so he gives us these visuals. One, in Hebrews, he says, let's run the race with endurance. And then he uses it several other times in Galatians 2 and Philippians 2. He emphasizes this race, but it's not just a walk that's a passive, casual walk. Okay? He gives us the image and the picture of a walk, and he tells us something, that there's something more in the walk. It's a stance. Jordan, I need you to help me with this. He's a big guy, isn't he? Everybody say hi, Jordan. Jordan's a big guy. You don't want to mess with Jordan. Okay. So if I'm standing here and I said, Jordan, I want you to put your hand on my chest and I want you to, I want to walk forward, but I want you to not allow me to go forward. I want you to make me go backwards. Okay? So you're a big guy. Make me go backwards. So I'm trying not to let him push me, but he's a big guy, right? Okay. Now, go ahead and put your hand out again. And then, but this time I'm going to change my position. Okay? So now I've changed my position, and now, go ahead. Really try. Come on. So if I change my stance, he's a big guy. I should have had this guy come out and push too. Yeah. If you change your stance, what I did was I planted my foot and I got into a stance that anchored my foot to the ground, and I tapped into something, okay? As a Christian, you can tap into, you can change your stance. You can walk as a Christian and get bounced all around, or you can walk where you don't get rocked very easy. Stuff comes against you, and it's like, boom, boom, boom. You're like, hey, hope you do better than that, devil. Huh? I woke up the other day, and there was a spirit of fear in my house, spiritual manifestation. Haven't had that happen in I don't know how long. But I like woke up and had a dream. It was a bad dream. I knew it was a spirit of fear when you wake up and it feels like the room is chilling and there's fog in your room. Like, you know, when there's a devil present in your room. Am I the only one who's ever had that happen? You guys are like, this is weird. No, I woke up and I felt evil in my house. Does that help you? I felt evil in my house, but I knew right away what it was. But I had to get my bearings. So right away, I'm like, where am I? You know, this is crazy. You know, this is foreign right now. And then when I realized what it was like, oh, you know what I mean? You're gone. You know, I'm a man of faith. This is my home. I've prayed in this home. I pray in the spirit in this home every day. I read the word in this home. My home is blessed. Blessed is where my feet trod is blessed. We put time. There's hours and hours of prayer in my home. Devil has no right in my home. Are you with me? As soon as you know who you are, it's like he has to go. Are you with me? So your stance can shift based on who, your identity and who you know, that you know who you are and you know who's with you. Maybe if I'm asleep, you can try to mess and walk around my house, but not if I'm awake. If I left my door open and I woke up this morning, there's a coyote on the golf course. I'm like, if I left my door open, that coyote could have come in my house, right? But the minute I get up, he's leaving. Are you here? I will kick him out of my house. Right? Wouldn't you? Well, you have authority. But if you don't know how you walk, you'll be running from them when there's a coyote, so as to say. You'll be running from the devil instead of leaning in. And he gives us some illustrations because he wants us to stand firm. Because you will be, your spiritual walk will get rocked. Jesus was asleep on the boat because he had peace. And he knew he wasn't going to die. Jesus, we're going to die. They're telling the King of Glory. They're telling life incarnate. They're telling him we're going to die. They're telling the resurrection and the life that we're all going to die. They're telling Jesus, who has authority, he created all things. And he's like, come on, guys. And he says, be still, and the storm stills. But the storms will come. So as a Christian, Jesus didn't say, if they come. And if you get mature, then they stop coming. No, when they come. The difference is, when they come, you know how to handle them. And you know how to speak to them. And or if you're going to ride it out, you know how to ride it out. You know how not to get rocked by it. Are you with me? So whether he calms the storm or gets in the boat with you, still, Jesus is with you. And that shifts everything. Are you with me? And so we need to learn some things. And he gives us these little things on one is a person walking. And then the next one is, and not just emphasis on our walk, but on our stance. And the next one is being rooted in the faith. And he says, so walk in him, in verse 7, rooted and built up and established in the faith. How do you get rooted in the faith? So he uses the illustration of roots in Christ. He uses the illustration, I was thinking of that group, you know. I am group. I am group. Anybody Guardians of the Galaxy? Never mind. Anyway. Me and Teresa were tearing out. We were trying to just like put this border on our house. And I have this job and I'm on mission and this giant root is going through there. And this root is like this big going up and under the sidewalk. And I'm like, okay, I got to saw this off just to put this little thing in. But the root went to a big old stump that I paid some guys to remove that never removed it and covered it with dirt. Paid them to remove that tree and get the stump out. The stump's still there. So I move the dirt, giant root attached to a bigger root, to another root, to a whole system of roots on a stump that went everywhere. And I'm sitting out there with a digging bar, you know, and busting bars and roots that are like 6 inches wide, all these tap roots, and I'm pushing down, you know. I was so sore the next day. I was like, man, I'm not 20, but oh, my brain thinks I am. I'm hitting with digging bar. We're hitting with a pick. We're cutting with sawzall and chainsaws. I mean, like hours. Then we changed mission to attack this root. And Teresa was going. She was saying it. She goes, "It's Groot," you know, because we found it went under everywhere, like a whole system, like this big. It was massive. And can I just tell you right now, like you're supposed to be like that root that cannot be moved. You're supposed to be that one that when the devil pushes, he's like. This one's got some roots, and that's not going to work. You know what I mean? Because he'll test you and to see what's going to rock you. And we can build them. If you say, well, I'm not that stable. Well, you can build and establish those roots. And that's what he's saying is that we're rooted and built up in him. And so he talks about us being rooted. But look at this beautiful picture. He's saying, you're rooted. A root draws its nourishment, and you're to be rooted in Christ. That means you're to draw your nourishment. The very life that causes growth in you comes out of Christ. You're to tap into Christ every day. You're to be anchored in Christ. You're to be rooted in Christ. Now, that's different than being rooted in dirt. Jesus is the very source of life. And he's the glorified Christ now seated on a throne, and all of the universe, all everything, all of eternity will draw its strength and power from him. And we are to be tapped in so that our roots are being nourished and we're drawing life out of the author of life. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Ah, we're to be planted. And he says in Psalms 1:3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. How many wish you had that anointing on houseplants? No, I'm just joking. We're to like prosper and grow and never die. Sorry to all the plant killers of the world here. We're to be rooted in Christ. We're to be planted. And it says, whatever he does, he shall prosper. Whatever he or she does, they prosper. If you get anchored in him, whatever you do, you'll prosper. When the devil comes against you, you're going to prosper. When something comes out, you're going to prosper. I mean, I want to be rooted like that, that no matter what happens, if something bad starts to happen, God causes all things good to the good of those who are called according to his purpose, right? So we're going to be blessed. So being rooted in faith is to be planted. Roots grow down deep. And this word rooted speaks of being firmly rooted. I love that. And sometimes, can I just tell you this? Sometimes, if you want to be that strong tree that's rooted, if you want to be that immovable, sometimes you get manure put on you. Sometimes you have a season of humility. Because even the best trees need a little manure. I used to work for commercial landscaping before I was in ministry way back in the day. And I think I was 18 years old. I worked in 17, 18 years old. I was working for a commercial landscaper. And they would come with a whole truckload and dump this fertilizer out, a massive mound of fertilizer. And when I come into work the next morning, it had steam coming off of it. And I'm like, we got to spread that stuff, man. Don't be downwind from that. Are you here? And sometimes there's humility in our lives if we want to get the nutrients to grow. And sometimes we have, you know, that stuff came out of the south end of something. I mean, it's not fun. But Jesus said he fertilizes a tree that's not bearing fruit. And sometimes if we're going through a humbling, that's part of the fruit-bearing process, that we need to be humbled for a season. Season. We don't live there. It's a season. You know, we don't camp out in the valley of shadow of death. We go through it. We don't pitch a tent. But there's seasons of humility in that growth process. I was totally free. I'm off topic. Here we go. And the next snapshot is being that of being built up. And it's a picture of a building. So I used to work on high rises and we built these buildings. I built a bunch of buildings in San Diego, high rises. And it's speaking of a building, not just a little building, but a building that goes way up. And when we built these buildings that went way up, we went way down. So if we're going up 18 stories, we'd go down like 4 or 5 stories. We'd go down 4 stories, dig to there, and then they'd dig big piers and anchor down below that. And then they'd build up from there because the foundation was important. And some people get born again and they go, man, I want to be a spiritual giant. I want to do this. I want to do that. But you get rocked when you're tall without a good foundation because you just topple. It's like charisma without character. And so we've got, when no one's watching, you're building and developing your roots. You build as a building and people may be watching you as you build and you grow and you're growing story after story. And you're like, man, you're awesome. Oh, you're a spiritual giant. But you build when no one's watching. My mentor said, before you get on this stage, you spend that much time in prayer. You know, but you've got a job to put roots. I don't know. Randy has fruit trees. He's giving me lemons. I've never seen the roots. I don't see the roots, but I see the fruit off the lemon trees. I like the fruit of your avocado trees. I like your avocados. Love guacamole. But there's roots I know below that. And those avocados need a lot of water. And to produce on an avocado tree, if you double, triple the water, you'll get double, triple the harvest. More than recommended. And you can have bumper harvest because you put more water. You get more word, you'll get more roots and more founded. And you'll have a better... You with me? So, anyway, so he tells us, and then he used the illustration of a building, and he talks about us being built up. And what a beautiful picture, being built up. And it really speaks of being built up. It doesn't have an ending. It means a constant being built up. Our vision is leading people to new heights. So we're constantly building people up, building them up in their faith, building them up, and constantly building on wherever you were yesterday to build on that for your tomorrow. And the last snapshot ties all these illustrations together. And this last picture is being strengthened whether it's a person walking, whether it's a strong stance, whether it's a tree that's stable and the roots and the solid, whether it's a foundation that's tapped down onto Christ, which we know Christ is our foundation. He's the foundation stone. Well, all of those things in this last picture, he says, being strengthened in faith, being established in your faith. What a beautiful picture of Christ. Jesus said it beautifully in John 15:5. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes I like this morning for a little while, I was starting to pray in the spirit, And then I saw this coyote. I got a little distracted. I'm like, there's a coyote there. I'm looking at him and then, you know, and then I started to go to, I pray in the spirit. I just started to soak and I listened. I had worship music on. I just started soaking and I just got so overwhelmed with his presence and his glory that just to sit there in his presence, I was tapped into the vine. And I knew that I was tapped into the vine. I knew right then it was like, oh, like I'm getting a download right now from heaven just because I'm with you. I love you so much. And I just started to praise him. I love you so much. And it doesn't necessarily have to be my list. And I did that. And I have a list. And I'll go into the courts of heaven. I'll pray. I'll intercede. I'll make declarations. I'll read my word. But there's all different dimensions and dynamics to your time with him. Get planted. Get anchored every morning. And sometimes it's just soaking in his presence. Sometimes it's diving in the word. Sometimes it's, and usually it's all of those above mixed together. But I'm just saying, like, just make it where you can't help. You can't wait till you get to that spot. It's got to be your beginning. The other day, I had like these, I told you I had these dreams. I woke up and there was an evil presence in my house and it just rocked me. I got up and then I wanted to get out of the house to go where I needed to go because I slept in because usually I wake up when it's dark. Like I was up at 4:44 this morning, which is awesome. But like I get up when it's dark and I have my time with God and I watch the sunrise and I didn't that day because I was tormented and I slept in. It was light out. I went to Starbucks and I get a green tea and then I drop my green tea and I pick it up and then the cup's cracked and I run to my office and I'm trying to set it down and then it's leaking all over my desk. You know those days when it gets worse? Have you ever started a day and it gets worse as you're going? And you're like, are you kidding me? Like I couldn't sleep and now I just want this green tea. I need to get caffeinated here. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? I'm just like, this is crazy. Now you mess with my Starbucks, my one thing that I get to indulge in. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I'm sitting here and then I realized it kept going. And I'm just like, I want to go back and do a do-over. I just put worship on. I just want to go into worship. And worship, I need to start. I need my starting point. I'm not used to doing that and driving and doing all that. I'm used to like my starting point before I do anything. Like Teresa knows, I don't even like to talk early in the morning. I like to just escape downstairs and just go and like just hear God and talk to God and listen. And it's my most creative and productive time. I was telling someone I can be more productive in writing in the morning at 2 to 3 times. It'll take me 3 hours in the afternoon to do what I can do in an hour in the morning. But can I tell you this right now? I don't know what yours is, but whatever it is, you got to get anchored. And if you'll settle that and you'll settle that anchor point every morning, you'll reach your goals. You'll have a better day, which will turn to a better week, that'll turn to a better month, that'll turn to a better quarter, that'll turn. And if you're going to reach those goals, anchor yourself in him. And I'll just, the last one, just to skip to the end here. Last one is just, we got to settle this that as we live anchored lives, as we really, really get it, that we're winners from the start to the finish. And this is my last two verses. He says in verse 9, in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell. Wow, in him. And then it says in verse 10, and you are in him, made full and having come to the fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Every day you just need to get anchored with that revelation that as I go out, it's back to that verse in 127 of Colossians, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you realize you're walking out onto the scene with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when you realize you're not alone, you're not trying to do this thing by yourself, but I'm anchored in him. Everything shifts. Everything shifts when you know who you are and you know who's with you. And when you start it and you walk with him, then you can share the hope of glory that's in you. And people will be looking to you to say, what is that in you? You have something when everything's going wrong. You're just not losing your cool. When all this is, when everything's going bad, why do you have a hope that's different? What is it? You could tell them, I'm anchored in Christ Jesus. And you could tell them the hope that's in you. Could you stand with me today? Because he's there for you. And that's the mystery. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Is he in you? I ask you today, is he in you? And if he's not in you, why not? Well, I'm not good enough. No, is he in you? It's not based on whether you're good enough. It's based on what he did. Is he in you? And if he is in you, is your heart stirred with passion? Is your heart awakened? I just want to pray this prayer. If you'll bow your heads all over the room and just, would you pray this prayer with me and say, Father, I do believe that Jesus was crucified, died and buried, but I believe he rose. And I ask you to forgive my sins and fill me with your Son's presence. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your glory. And every day, I will anchor myself in you. Now I'm going to pray over you. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you for filling them. I thank you for shifting their tomorrow. I pray, God, that even as from the beginning to the end, that you're changing their ending point. I pray where there's some people have felt like a Groundhog's Day, like it just keeps repeating, and you're so done with being like last year and the year before. I feel like you're getting the keys. I feel like God's giving you the equipment to make the shift. He's given you what you need. Now just apply it. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the best year ever. And I thank you, God, for your hand. I thank you for you do what we can't. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.